Hello and welcome back to the Drinking Liberally podcast, the show that combines good alcohol with some friendly political banter. I'm Kevin Wilson, and this week I'm joined again by my co-host, Jeff Fenner.
How's everyone doing?
Jeff, good to have you back in the co-host seat after a brief absence. Welcome back.
Thank you.
And this is bonus content this week because we just dropped an episode earlier on Wednesday and we're getting a second episode.
I thought we were the real
out.
Shit though, and that was bonus.
Take it up with Dennis.
All right, gotta fight him.
But two episodes in 1 week is the point. So
you're welcome.
Yeah, folks. That's what we're saying. You're welcome, America. You're welcome, Donald Trump. I know you listen. Number one fan.
There's definitely enough going on to fill two episodes worth of stuff.
100%. Yeah. We've had a lot going on. Last week, so much has happened just in the impeachment world that we'll spend a lot of time talking about that today. Provide some updates there. Some fun more fake news of the week. But before we get into our normal drink discussion, I think we're going to start with a little more somber news that took place kind of in our backyard a day or two ago by the time this drops. We had a mass shooting, and this time right in our backyard here in Jersey City where we record. Authorities are looking at it as a domestic terrorism event now. Two people, man and a woman, went and apparently targeted a Jewish bodega, Jewish deli. They were stopped by the police. A detective lost his life, was murdered by these assholes. And then
Detective Seals.
Detective Joseph Seals of the Jersey City Police Department lost his life, unfortunately. And then they killed three other people. I don't like seeing these headlines that say six people dead. I don't count the shooters in this. The shooters did die. I don't like seeing them included in these headlines because who gives a shit about these terrible people?
Yeah.
The headline is that, you know, four innocent people are dead, one of which is a police officer.
Yeah.
And it's a goddamn tragedy.
Father of five children.
Yeah.
Right before Christmas. I mean, this one, you know, we've unfortunately in the time we've been doing this have had to attack a lot of these. And, you know, we've dealt with them in Texas and Pennsylvania and Ohio and California and Florida since we've been recording. But it's never been this close to home, right? We're talking 3 miles from where we record. I work in this area. My business, we went on lockdown during the time. So, I mean, it really hit home for everybody I work with and care about. You know, we've talked a lot about guns and police and the good and the bad. And this one just really hits home. Detective Seals, he's been a 15-year police officer in Jersey City. He's rose through the ranks. His most recent assignment, you know, crazy enough, was to a citywide ceasefire unit, which concentrates on the reducing shootings and making gun arrests in Jersey City. He was their leading officer in terms of, you know, removing guns from the street. And it's just a tragedy. It goes down this way. The people in this bodega, if you don't live in New York City or Jersey, bodega might be a weird word.
Oh, yeah. I always forget about that.
But we live by these. I mean, these, especially in New York City, Jersey, it's probably not as widely known, but in this area, bodegas are your corner stores, but it's more than that. Like, people hang out there, you go get your lottery tickets, you grab sandwiches,
pet
there's
some
delis.
Cats.
Yeah, you pet cats. But they've got everything you need, man. It's like a one-stop shop, corner shops, and they a lot of times are the most important thing in that block or that community. There were people come together, they hang out up front. It's a big tradition here. It's where people always feel safe. Just a real shame, man. Watched a lot of the clips that were on YouTube and it sounded like a war zone somewhere.
Yeah, it was crazy how many rounds were fired back and forth because they hold up in this store, killed, you know, two people that work there and a customer.
And the other gunman started firing just randomly on a school,
yeah.
Which was right by there. There was a lot of misinformation. There's still a lot to come out. We're not getting into the details of this because there's more to be discovered. There's been a lot of misinformation out there simply because of the neighborhood it was in and the street it was on. It's just been a shame to watch automatically get tied to drug dealing or whatever because it's not necessarily known as the best neighborhood in Jersey City, to be fair, or on the best street. To see that more information is coming out that it was more of a hate crime or a terrorist attack it's devastating for the community. We're going to share a link if anybody wants to go donate. And again, this officer had five children. We're 2 weeks away from Christmas. Their dad will not be there for that. Let's not let that get lost on anybody. I have two kids at home, and I can't imagine, man. It's we're gonna do our part in Jersey City. As I mentioned, I work here. I'm not gonna name my company, but we're getting involved in it, and we'll do our part here. We'll shoot out the link. I've already donated to it. If you guys have anything, you can buy a T-shirt or help out a little bit. So it's appreciated for our community here.
Yeah, 100%. Go out there, donate. On that note, be wary of fake GoFundMes that pop up in the wake of tragedies like this. I've seen like half a dozen already. Make sure, go to your local news organization's websites. They'll have legitimate links. Yeah. We will share legitimate links from
charities. A news one, to be clear. It's Barstool Sports, which, love them or hate them or whatever you feel about them, they've done a couple of these, and they've been really impactful. The last one, I think they raised $115,000 for a firefighter that passed away tragically. So we support this for this website. You can care whatever they do, you don't like, you dislike, whatever. But I've seen them in action on these things, so we put our name behind this. Kev, as long as you're comfortable with that, I think I'm really comfortable with promoting that for this.
I'm comfortable with it as well, and I'm a huge Barstool critic, but this is they're doing the right thing here, so yep. Give them props where deserved.
And just for our community, man, we record here. We all feel we're a part of Jersey City. We try to bring good to it, and this tragedy really hit home. There's another one to talk about in Florida. The poor kid that got hijacked in his delivery truck turned into a mass shootout on a major highway. And, you know, we're talking good. And, again, there's good and bad about everything. We had a situation down there where police were taking cover behind civilian cars, and not saying we applaud that. You know, we've been very fair and transparent here about how we feel about the actions, but this one's an absolute tragedy, and we support the police officers. We support the people, first responders, running into these situations when people need to get out. And the only thing I'll say, man, if you guys are ever in here gunfire, and the one thing that really struck me about this, it was just a lot of people out on the streets with their phones out.
Yeah, guys, weird.
Guys, get just, it's not worth the viral moment. Let the cops do their job. You make the police officers' jobs harder if they've got to worry about getting you to cover than trying to take care of their own and you know, stop the shooters. So don't be a hero.
Yeah, and just to kind of keep that vein going, it's not only there. We have in Florida, we had that attack at that naval base.
Yeah.
So that's three major incidents in the last week of gun violence, that done by a Saudi national.
And we had Hawaii, too. Here.
And it's just, it's so sad to see. And not only that, but infuriating that there's so much that could be done. I'm not saying you prevent every mass shooting out there. It's unrealistic to think that. Pandora's box has been opened in this country as far as guns are concerned. You're not getting every gun back off the street. But at the end of the day, we could take measures like expanding background checks to everybody. Closing some loopholes. The Saudi national in Florida was able to buy a gun. He's not a citizen.
Yep.
Because he was able to get a hunting license in Florida and therefore buy a gun.
And those loophole and background checks are on the floor in the Senate right now. I say this as directly as I can. Fuck you, Mitch McConnell. Some of this blood is on your hands. Put this bill on the floor.
Yeah, bipartisan background check bills have been passed by the House. So every time you hear about the quote-unquote do-nothing Democrats in the House, remember that 400 bills are sitting in the Senate waiting to be voted on, and Mitch McConnell refuses to take any of them up. And one of them,
and this might be the most important,
is about background checks on guns. And this is even something that Donald Trump himself came out and said that he supported until he met with the NRA later that week.
Will that bill stop all of these?
Absolutely not.
If it stops one,
worth it.
Worth the vote. Let's see where people stand. Put that thing out there. It's not too early to talk about this after a tragedy. It's just not. This is, you know, they happen weekly. I mean, we've had more mass shootings in this country than days to this point. We are going to outpace 365 days with mass shootings already. I think we've done it.
Not a record you want to be breaking.
Again, this one hit home for us, and we try to. We don't talk about these every week because we could, because they suck to talk about. You know, we could just have a podcast about these, unfortunately. Again, Officer Seals, thank you. Thank you to his family. What a fucking tragedy this close to the holidays. Anytime it's bad, but, you know, five children, man.
Especially bad now. And, you know, I work with kids in the Hoboken, Jersey City area, and I last night was working with them, and a lot of them have friends and family, cousins that live in Jersey City, or maybe they themselves do. And a lot of them talked about last night how they or people they knew were, in their terms, locked in at school.
Yeah.
They were on lockdown all day because of these shootings. Some of them understood the gravity of what was going on. A lot of them are a little younger and didn't, and just knew that, you know, police said we can't go outside. That's horrifying that children have to worry about that. Yeah. Like, it's got to stop.
My daughter's in kindergarten, reflect on that a little bit more, and they have the drills once a month. And where she goes to school, they've decided with that age group, because we're talking, it's kindergarten through second grade, they tell them that there's a bear outside or like an animal really? That's trying to get in. I still haven't figured out if I agree with this. I don't think I do. I think my daughter's a pretty bright kid. I think we could probably talk to her about it, but I also get it. It's
that's a lot to put on a kid.
Any of it is. A bear being outside is a lot to put on a kid. She's terrified of the zoo now. Just that these things are going on. I had tornado drills when I was in elementary school, you know? That was like the scariest thing.
We just had normal fire drills. We didn't have any of this.
They do lockdowns at my daughter that's in daycare. They do it there.
It's a wild world we live in. And so we don't take up the entire episode talking about this, but
it's important.
I think it's very important to also note back in the Jersey City shooting that these were people who targeted Jewish people. When we come out, both these both shooters were members of a group called the Black Israelites, which is an anti-Semitic group, hate group. Their Facebook and social media postings are just filled with anti-police and anti-Jewish writings. These are hate groups, and when we talk about bigotry and white supremacy still existing and rearing its ugly head in the last few years especially, this is what we're talking about. So we're not blowing smoke trying to scare people on it. It's literally happening. Now it's happening in our backyard, unfortunately, but this is everywhere in the country, and something has to be done about it. And unfortunately, our government right now doesn't seem like they have any interest at all. But
yeah, just a shame.
Yep. So
let's drink to that. To the not to happiness,
to the memory of,
to the officer, to the family in the bodega that lost their lives, to the kids in the schools that were locked down and were terrified. Just fuck this. Mitch McConnell, do your job. You were elected to do your job. You're not doing your job.
Yeah, we can do better. So on that note, we're going to switch gears, kind of get back more into the regular swing of things here. We are going to first talk about what we're drinking this week. Keeping in the December, holiday season, we are drinking another seasonal ale. This week it is the Winter Solstice from Anderson Valley. That's a brewery out in Boonville, California. Now, this ale, I like it better than last week's. I enjoyed last week's. I think this is much better. It's got this really dark amber pour to it. The head sticks around. Residue stays there for a little bit. Pretty foamy. The smell is very malty, caramel smells to it. And the taste follows. You got a lot of vanilla, ginger, a hint of pine to it as well. It's a pretty rich beer drinking this, but still very drinkable. It strikes a very nice balance.
It has like a cola taste to it.
Kind of, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that caramel, I think, leads to that, and the smoothness of it.
Like a vanilla.
I think, yeah, definitely leads to, a cola taste. Absolutely. It's 6.9% alcohol by volume, so like last week, this is another one that'll keep you warm during the cold winter months. We'll see how many of these we get through during the show.
Yeah.
Fantastic seasonal ale out of Anderson Valley. Their can stands out a little bit. Nice little, looks like a brown bear fishing in the water that has like antlers on him. So
feels like a little trip to Alaska.
Yeah, feels very nice. This is a great ale. Picked it up at our local store. I looked it up and it is pretty widely available. So you could probably check this out even if you're not from our local area. So check that out. The Winter Solstice Seasonal Ale from Anderson Valley Brewing Company out of Boonville, California.
Nice.
Well, cheers. So let's get to the politics part of the podcast then. We're going to open up with articles of impeachment. They've been filed officially by the House against Donald Trump, the 45th president of the United States.
Huge historical moment.
He's one of four presidents that has ever gone through this process, which is crazy.
It's a historical moment.
Yeah, so whether he likes it or not, for better or worse, Donald Trump's name is etched into history books at this point. Two articles were drafted against him. Obstruction of Congress, and abuse of power. There's been arguments back and forth about, is this too few? Should there have been more? There certainly could have been more. Going back to the Mueller report, there's obstruction of justice charges that could have been levied against him strictly from that investigation, let alone what's been going on here. You could draft articles about violations of the emoluments clause or any number of kind of abuses, but we have two. Jeff, it sounds like you think that's not enough.
I've really gone back and forth on this because I think, let me talk you through my thought process and you tell me where it's crazy. My too few thought process, look, if you have right now, if you're going for the kill, bring all the evidence you got. Let's just throw it all in there. It's like if your wife starts looking into you for cheating and she finds a couple things, but while she's looking into you, she also found you were siphoning your bank account for gambling and you lied about, you know, a family, like a kid you have on
this
the West
Coast.
This
isn't personal, right?
No. But you lie about a kid you have in another state that you're paying child, like all the things.
Suspiciously like, specific here,
like
Jeff.
If she's going for the divorce, is she just going to go for the cheating angle or is she going to say, cheating and he siphoned our money away for gambling and he has a kid that he never told me about?
There's a pattern of dishonesty
right.
here.
Or are we doing this because if you're going through this process, if you have the one thing, the Ukraine thing that you think, let's not muddy the waters. This is the, all the other stuff sucks, but this is the one that you did that's over the line and we got to end this. Do you keep it clean? Are you like, this is what we're doing? We saw the Mueller report get really muddied. Fortunately, we've talked about this before. Mueller wasn't fantastic on the stand and it got muddied because of that. So my question, like I don't have an answer. Like I go back and forth every time I think about it. Sometimes I'm like, listen, throw everything in this. Yeah. Let's talk about the fact that he spent $115 million golfing when he boasts about the fact that he doesn't take a salary. Let's talk about, you know, that he wanted the all of these political dinners to be at his resort that's going to pay him personally. Let's talk about how he didn't divest his interest during this time or put it into a blind trust, really. But at the same time, if we have the bribery, the go after my political opponent smoking gun, do we just say, listen, that's enough. We don't need to put 45 talking points out there to let it muddy the waters. That's my question to you, because I don't have an answer right now. I go back and forth by the hour.
Yeah. I don't really have an answer either, unfortunately. I go back and forth. My gut says that they made the right decision here because this is a more cut and dry case for them to present to the public.
Evidence is clear.
Where you're right, the Mueller report, like I read it, but it was 400 pages long. And there are parts of it that even I didn't understand because I'm not a lawyer.
Yeah.
And so I understand why people wouldn't read that entire report. It was a lot to take in. And there were some very, very definitive pieces of evidence in there that could have led to any number of articles of impeachment against him, but they decided not to because they figured the argument couldn't be made effectively to the American public in a way that would get people behind him. So it's definitely a calculated effort on the Democrats' part to go with just these two articles of impeachment. Because one of the things I heard was that, you know, Nancy Pelosi called everyone into her office. They met about this. You know, what should we draft? And really
the
big turning
point. She
wanted
the real nails.
Yeah. And really the turning point, because Nancy Pelosi herself was against impeaching Donald Trump for a long time. And then you see with Nancy Pelosi and then really moderate Dems came out after the Ukraine stuff was released and said, oh, shit. Yeah, this is serious enough now. And while we didn't agree with impeachment back on the Mueller side, whether because he's the president, we didn't think we can indict, and that's the reason why we didn't want to do it, this is a line too far. And this was the straw that broke the camel's back for a lot of moderate Democrats and kind of forced Nancy Pelosi's hand at this point, that you had to open up an actual inquiry. And so here we are with two articles. Now, the counter to this argument, and one that I immediately had when I saw it was only two, was like, well, Donald Trump's going to come out and say, oh, it's only two. You know, Nixon had X number, and which it doesn't even matter because no one's going to remember.
And that's my other side of it. Like, we have more, obviously.
Yeah. It could be any number of articles on impeachment right now. The important thing, I think, in the calculus the Democrats made was that the number doesn't really matter. People are only going to remember that Donald Trump was impeached.
Right.
They won't go based on how many articles of impeachment there were. As much as Donald Trump is already trying to skew, we saw it last night in Hershey, Pennsylvania. He's calling it impeachment light because there's only two articles of impeachment, which is a strange stance to take.
He has the two most serious articles of impeachment.
Yeah, abuse of power and obstruction of Congress are two very serious allegations against him. The obstruction of Congress we saw in real time as he refused to cooperate and blocked witnesses from participating in this inquiry. And if you're innocent, could have just had people come clear your name, Donnie.
Yeah, this comes out when they're talking about it. And these are the two most serious because this is exactly what, when they were writing these in the Constitution, this is what our forefathers were afraid of. This is what they were protecting against coming away from England. This is what exactly they didn't want to see happen. What worries me is this. So I feel like now there's only two. And tell me if I'm nuts here. But my feeling now is that the most important thing to us was just to draft the articles and not actually impeach or actually try to get this through the Senate. My feeling now is get this out, have it be known. We're going to the election year. He's under impeachment. Have that be a thing. Because I feel like if you were actually trying to push McConnell in the Senate into a legitimate impeachment situation, you would make them defend as many articles as possible. Just because then if they just shammed it and were like, we're not voting, we're not doing this on 20 things or whatever the number ended up being, 10, 5, I don't care. I feel like if you really were trying to take this through the goal line, you'd throw as many out there as possible.
So I disagree on that because, one, well, first of all, for anyone that's not familiar with the process, like, he is going to be impeached at this point. The fact that Nancy Pelosi took this up means she has the votes to get this done because she wouldn't have otherwise.
Doesn't mean it's going through the Senate, though.
Right, but he will not be convicted is the major difference.
That was my thing.
Yeah.
If you're going for a conviction, I said that wrong. Going for a conviction, don't you throw your everything you got on the wood fire?
I think by going with two very definitive articles that have a lot of concrete evidence
that they can't even defend,
I think backs them into a corner more so than throwing 12 articles of impeachment against him, because then they could say, oh, look, they just hate him. They're getting him on every single issue instead of just this one here, or two in this case. I've kind of talked myself into believing that this was the right move now that we've
talked. Well, you just talked me into it too, because what you just hit my head with was the worst thing that could happen is, like, and they will, the Republicans hang on to article impeachment number 7. That's maybe not the most
right.
Serious. I mean, these are all serious, but say it's just like, okay, the emoluments clause at this point, it could, if they just hung on that, right? We've shown that Americans really don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, this is not the peanut farm back in the day.
Yeah.
Like,
it's not Jimmy Carter's peanuts. Yeah,
they've decided that he can have these things at his Boca Raton resort. It doesn't matter. So I agree with you. See, I've gone back and forth. Like, that's my thought process. It's second to second. But that makes sense. Put the two out there that they have to really be put on the gun to defend.
And for as much shit as Nancy Pelosi gets, and we can get on her for a lot coming from the left, she's a smart woman. She knows what she's doing. She's very calculated. She's not, everything she does is purposeful. And she surrounded herself with, after taking the House in 2018, with chair people that know what they're doing. Adam Schiff on the Intelligence Committee, Nadler on the Judiciary. They're all very intelligent people that know what they're doing, and they have laid out a pretty convincing case.
Can we talk about that real quick? Sorry, before you move. I just want to shout out, because we shout out to Schiff. He did an amazing job. Nadler also did a fantastic job. I watched all of that first day on Monday, and Republicans just tried to yell and say they objected to everything. They wanted votes on stuff, and they were literally just trying to turn this into a 12-hour meeting that people would stop watching.
Yeah.
And he was amazing. Just like, he's like, nope, nope, moving on. Table, 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 table. So good job by him.
And that's a common refrain you'll probably hear from Democrats, is that, you know, if you're arguing process as the Republicans are, which they're just getting angry about, you know, the workflow of impeachment. If you're arguing process rather than the actual facts of the case, it means you've got nothing to defend.
That's all they're arguing.
And none of them are attacking the facts of the case. They're all arguing how the case was brought up by focusing on the whistleblower.
Yeah.
Because this is a sham investigation because it's, in their minds, brought on by an anonymous whistleblower that they can't trust. While forgetting the facts that numerous people have come forward and corroborated, numerous credible people have come forward and corroborated what the whistleblower said. So the whistleblower's complaint is a moot point right now.
No.
We don't need the whistleblower anymore. We have Mike Pence's aide. We have actual ambassadors that were appointed by the Trump administration.
That's the important
testifying
thing.
Against him.
These are people that work for Trump. These aren't just people. These are people work for Trump. Sonderlund went back. He got on a flight to go back to work for Trump.
Yeah, he was going back to Brussels that day.
Yeah. And the other process thing that pisses me off is Nunez is now a material witness.
Yeah. I don't think we touched on that in a previous episode, but
there's evidence that he was directly involved with Giuliani's guys. And he never brought this up. So Republicans fighting process when one of their main people that are trying this case, I mean, again, not in court, but really going through the steps and questioning witnesses, was a material witness. Like, he should be recused immediately.
Right. Yeah. If you're going to argue process, the process is he recuses himself.
You're not allowed
from
to be
these
involved
hearings
in this. No,
because
no, no.
He has a vested interest and
to
might
protect
be,
himself.
Right. Because he might be covering his own ass. We don't know.
Right.
And you have to ask yourself, why didn't he bring this up beforehand unless he had something to hide?
I think I know.
Well, I think we all know the answer. He won't admit it. Devin Nunez, you know, he's been caught. Phone records were released of him talking with Lev Parnas,
however,
Rudy Giuliani's person.
They say anybody could use his phone.
Yeah, sure. He called him like a dozen times and spoke with his wife instead.
How terrifying is it that the GOP is saying that we aren't in control enough of our government that people are just randomly using congressmen, Senate people's phones.
Right. Yeah, his direct line was just being used by someone random.
Anybody.
It wasn't him.
Who knows? They don't even know who it was.
It's a very, very
the
shitty
cleaner
argument.
Was picking up his phone in his office and calling home, like
calling the Ukraine and arranging investigations into the Bidens.
Brutal.
It's
people are believing this though.
Yeah, and that's the thing. We also to the point of not having too many articles. They would latch on to the weakest of the
Correct.
Of the links.
And it would make the whole argument about
And
it.
That's all they would talk about. The same way all they're talking about is the whistleblower right now. And another criticism I've heard that we'll talk about briefly, because I think Adam Schiff shuts this down convincingly, in my mind at least. Why are we doing this so quickly? You know, the actual public hearings were only a few weeks long. The investigation itself, at least formally, is only a couple months old. We could easily, there's so much to investigate. Why move so fast? And I think Adam Schiff hit the nail on the head by saying, you know, if when you ask why so fast, you're saying, well, let's just give him a chance to cheat in the 2020 election. Why don't you?
Right.
Like, why not just give him an extra chance to do this and request foreign influence in our government? Doing it quickly ensures that we get to the bottom of it. Taking a vote on it quickly ensures that the impeachment happens and we move on to the trial. And then the part that Adam Schiff won't say, because it would not be a great soundbite for him, but now ball's in the Republicans' court. It goes to the Senate, which is controlled by Republicans. They have to go on record to either acquit Donald Trump on these charges or in some, you know, mirror world, I guess, actually vote to convict him on it. So it's going to get them all on the record right before an election year.
We've definitely heard our case and our standing over the fact that, you know, the thing that you would do if this wasn't coming up to an election, say this is Donald Trump's first year in office. Mm-hmm. Then they really go to hold these people to the subpoenas. They take this to court. They probably, because you're going to wait this out a couple of years. Like, this is going to be fought, going to the Supreme Court. There's going to be judgments made on it. There's going to be counter lawsuits. Trump has already shown, I mean, we're now into year three of his tax returns, and it's finally to the Supreme Court. It looks like it's going okay. But I think, as you just said, the Democrats had to make a decision. You know, do we need to get Pompeo and Trump here? If we do, this is going past the 2020 election.
Right.
Period. Pompeo and Trump are not showing up on this stand between now and November 2020. It's going to get held up. They're going to keep obstructing as they are. However, I mean, you look at it two ways. If we lose this, this may be the thing that we fucked up on, right? Because if he gets another term and this has already been adjudicated out, then guess what? We have nowhere to turn. We can't go retry this.
The problem is going to be is that if he is not convicted in the Senate, which all signs point to that Republicans are going to hold water for him till the day they're all removed from office.
Or retire.
Or retire. Yeah, in shame.
They're doing
it. All this does is enable his behavior. Like, and it's sad because we have to think about our president as like a child or an animal you have to train. And you don't want to enable bad behavior by rewarding it. And this is what it would be, rewarding behavior, yeah. If they vote to acquit him. Because we saw him do it with Russia. We saw him do it with Ukraine.
China.
He's going to, yeah, he asked China in front of the helicopter, right in a press conference.
Yep.
Asked in front of cameras. And it was news for like 3 days and is forgotten about. He's going to continue to solicit any help he can get from any source
because he's not in trouble for it.
He knows there are no repercussions.
Zero.
So it is so dangerous.
So we had to do this now.
It had to be done
now.
Moral
of the story, push it through, maybe hurt our case a little bit, but he was never testifying. So.
And at the end of the day, no matter what you choose, you can't plan what... Like, the right thing to do doesn't change just because of Trump's response to it. So you can't say, let's not defend the Constitution just because Donald Trump's going to talk shit about us at a press conference or at a rally. Because he's going to do it regardless. Donald Trump doesn't care about
Facts
Democrats.
Facts don't matter.
Facts don't matter to this man. He's already pivoted to, and he said it last night in Hershey, he's already pivoted to the talking point that abuse of power is not a crime.
He's allowed to do whatever he wants to do.
He's saying he is a fucking king or a dictator now.
100,000%.
That is his argument.
He literally said, I can do what I want to do.
So please, Donald Trump, he keeps bragging about, you know, maybe I'll go and testify. Like, please testify,
my
friend.
He will never.
I know he never will. I assume that he surrounded himself with at least maybe one competent lawyer who's telling him, no, keep your mouth shut. And he refuses to believe that lawyer. But there's no way Donald Trump testifies in front of the Senate at all.
And they'll never ask him to. We're never going to get to that point in the Senate.
Our shot
was the House.
Republicans, you would think, he's your star witness. Bring him in.
Yeah, they know.
But they have no faith in him.
They know what they're enabling.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's not a question about that.
So you'll never see Donald Trump testify, and he's already has the talking point that, okay, yeah, maybe this did happen. Because he's trying to normalize it. Yeah, so what's the point?
Yep.
And forgetting, yeah, it's not a crime. It's a gross abuse of your office. And impeachable by the definition of our Constitution.
I think the big thing we need to get out there, any of you, and I'm sure none of you are, but anybody that's holding their hat on this is what's going to change office in 2020, no, go vote.
Yeah.
That's it.
End of the day. That's all you got.
He is not getting removed from office. It's not happening. That would be the biggest upset in the history of upsets. It's going to be a sham in the Senate.
Yeah. So let's speak about the adjacent stuff going on to impeachment. We have another gigantic report that I would not blame you for not reading because this one, again, is close to 400 pages, 300 plus, from our Inspector General, Horowitz. He was asked to investigate the FBI's investigation into Russian meddling in the 2016 election. Yeah. So, because there are so many layers to this onion here, the Inspector General's office was asked to investigate the whole precedent for what's been going on with Russia. And the report came out, and guess what? Really wasn't as damning as Donald Trump thought it would be. Or
zero.
Attorney General.
How about 0%?
There's some mishandling of process. But yeah, there is nothing illegal that went on. This report has come out and definitively said there is no evidence that the Obama administration ordered surveillance on the Trump campaign. No evidence that the FBI planted people in the Trump campaign to spy on them. Which is funny because Donald Trump tweeted earlier this afternoon that the report says my campaign was spied on. It's a flat out lie.
Carter Page was spied on.
Carter Page, yes.
Deservedly so.
Deservedly so. And the important part is the timeline here, people. Carter Page was out of the campaign by the time the FBI opened an investigation into him. The investigation opened up 2 months after Carter Page left the campaign.
And the FBI
because the government was worried that he was working with foreign governments.
The FBI has Russian assets on audio saying that they tried to flip him, but he was too stupid.
Yeah.
Like, this was not like a random pick a guy from the campaign and try to go. Like, they just knew that if that guy had power once Trump got elected, he'd be a real problem for us.
Yeah. And so Horowitz, the inspector general, has been testifying in front of the Senate pretty much all day, the day that we're recording this. And it's just been an embarrassment of riches for comedy, but also an embarrassment for our country.
This is all embarrassment.
Because we've had just nonstop stupid lines of questioning from the Republican side going after this guy. The report's pretty clear. We'll link to it in the footnotes if you're a masochist and want to go read it all. But if you think Democrats are lying about it, I highly recommend you go read this report.
The problem is no one will. And we've learned now after Mueller report.
Well, the Republicans know that.
Yeah, that Trump now can just say, hey, that IG report was really good for me and bad for the Democrats. And that's just going to get recycled on Fox News.
Not only that, he took it a step further. He went out when this report released and said it is worse than we possibly imagined.
For him, but he didn't part that.
No, right, yeah, yeah. He left that part out conveniently. But he's saying that it proves everything they've been saying for years is correct. And nothing. None of his conspiracy theories about being wiretapped by the Obama administration or any of the FBI malfeasance has proven true in this internal investigation. And now we have Donald Trump's, I'm comfortable calling him his personal lawyer at this point.
Putting out his own report.
Attorney General William Barr, who undercut the Mueller report by releasing a report right beforehand.
Yep.
So his version of events got to the public before the factual versions.
At least this one's after. I don't know if that's better or
not. It wasn't by much, though.
Yeah.
He released same day, comes out and starts attacking the IG's report.
And says, that's not my version of events.
William Barr is a partisan hack.
William Barr was very careful, though, this time to say, that's not my version of these events. Which was very telling to me.
So you know what? We have all these people coming before Congress, the ones that actually will agree to sit down. Let's get William Barr back in front of Congress, put him under oath. And not only that, here's a great idea I've seen floated on Twitter a few times. When we have these hearings, I don't want only the witnesses under oath. Every questioning member of Congress should have to go under oath as well or face the penalty of perjury. Because I'm sick of seeing people like Ted Cruz and Lindsey Graham and in the House like Jim Jordan go out there and just blatantly lie on a publicly televised broadcast of these hearings. And they're doing it because they know people that call themselves Republicans will probably listen to them and take their word at face value. Put them under oath too. And I saw the pushback. I was like, oh, well, then you got to put Pelosi and Schiff under oath. Yes, I'm very comfortable doing that. Why aren't you? Put them all under oath. Democrat, Republican alike.
Yeah, I mean, it goes back to everything when they were like, well, you're going to find out your Democratic politicians were doing this wrong. Well, then good. Get them out, too.
Yeah, that has been our stance the entire time, is that if someone on the left is corrupt, replace them. Get them out of office. Someone's on the right is corrupt. Get him out of office. I don't care. That's not partisan. So really the Republican argument now boils down to this.
Is there a Republican argument?
This is their mindset, at least. Okay. And this is what they want the American people to believe. And if you believe this, tell me, explain it to me. I want to hear from you. I will have a very civil conversation. I'll buy you a beer.
You can come on the podcast.
Yeah. Their argument now is that the Inspector General is lying.
Okay.
The FBI has been lying.
Okay.
All of our ambassadors have been lying. Special Prosecutor Robert Mueller has been lying. Democrats are lying. Our intelligence communities have been lying to us. Before you go any further. But Donald Trump and the Republicans are telling the truth.
Before you go any further, the one thing I saw in the IG report that was very telling, everybody's gone after the two FBI agents that had the text messages, ruined their lives. The rest of the text messages that came out in the IG report were for Trump. Because the FBI is a lot of older white gentlemen.
Law enforcement in general skews Republican across the country.
And the fact that Trump's been very pro-law enforcement sat well with them. And there's a lot of text messages in this 5 billion page IG report that show how happy they were that Trump was going into power. So this whole thing that the FBI was against Trump is nonsense, put on two people that thought he might be a corrupt criminal.
Yeah. So what's more likely, that everyone I just outlined is a corrupt government official and has been lying to undermine Trump, or Trump, the habitual liar that we get to see on a daily basis, proven wrong by basic fact-checking and Google skills, might be the guy lying? And Occam's razor here, people.
Yeah, to back this up, these are people that are career politicians.
Have worked under multiple administrations.
Now, we're talking 25, 30 years. And guess what? Never did this before. And all of a sudden, all of them together conspired against this one gentleman.
Doesn't make any sense.
If you believe that, please come talk to us.
Yeah. The deep state argument is complete bullshit. And if you believe the deep state argument, ask yourself this. This deep state is so effective and powerful. Why is Donald Trump president then? If they were against him from the start.
Yeah, we should have won.
They're the worst deep state ever, I guess, right? Yeah. Doesn't make any sense.
They're too busy recruiting kids to a pizza place.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Don't even get into those.
No, but that's their...
It's another conspiracy theory. It's right up there at Pizzagate. It's all ridiculous arguments that people
now
run
with.
Now
we've got the Steele guy tied directly to Ivanka. It gets more ridiculous by the day.
Yeah. And stupid Watergate.
And let me play devil's advocate for a second. And we've brought this up before. And I think I keep going back to this. Like, I know Mueller was a legit by the books, down the line guy. Like everything we've read, right? This guy was, he was not going to expand the scope of the investigation. This was what he was, these are the things he was done.
Yeah.
I am just ultimately perplexed, unless this was all the blackout stuff on this, that this wasn't part of it. I just don't understand how Ukraine wasn't even, it might've been a blip a couple times, but the fact that now it's our main basis of our articles of impeachment, and it was a blip in the Mueller report. I mean, it was in there. But it wasn't. Tell me if I'm wrong. I just don't understand why that wasn't the lead there.
Let's clarify a bit, because Zelensky became president recently.
Right.
So there's a whole new.
Okay, so the scope didn't
government
cover that
in Ukraine. And Robert Mueller's. Before we get to that, so in Ukraine, all of this is kind of like brand new. Coming up like after the fact.
Okay, so this is after the report.
Yeah.
Okay.
Robert Mueller's scope was very limited, and Republicans made it so, and it was a concession. Like, hey, he's investigating just Russian meddling. He's not investigating the president unless the president happens to be tied up into it. Surprise. But it was, his scope of investigation was Russian meddling in the 2016 election.
Okay.
His scope was not, let's go investigate Donald Trump.
Gotcha.
In which case, I'm sure he could have found a lot more.
I guess that's where I'm confused.
And you're right, though, that he is pretty much a consummate professional, though, in that he stuck to his mandate to a T.
Almost too much.
Which is frustrating as hell for anyone else that's watched this unfold and has watched Donald Trump commit crimes out in the open and say, well, Mueller, why can't you investigate that? Because it wasn't his purview.
Yep.
It's smart that he stuck to that, because the second he strayed from it, Republicans would have said this investigation's a sham. They said that anyway, I guess. But they might have had the actual legal grounds to dismiss him if he strayed from that mandate. So Robert Mueller's an interesting case because if he had been special prosecutor during the Nixon years, everyone probably thinks he's a hero. But we're in a different time nowadays where Donald Trump has shifted the way politics work so drastically that him being 1960s, 1970s style good guy doesn't really hold up in this environment anymore.
Yeah. But that made sense. I just go back to the Mueller thing. I'm like, man, this took so much time. And I know where I'm misled there, but like Trump always goes back to how much money got wasted on that, which is never factual.
Yeah. But in the long run, the Mueller report, while it did cost, was it like $10 million, whatever the number was.
They got the money back on it.
They got their money back on fraud that they uncovered. So it's a net gain.
A lot of people in jail too. Shout out. So go vote.
Going back though to the Mueller thing, let's remember there are still 11 ongoing investigations at the state level that stem from Mueller's investigation. Yeah. So we don't know what, we haven't seen the end of that yet.
And again, guys, we might not see that until after 2020. So go vote.
Let's move on to our fake news of the week. Donald Trump continues to bring up at rallies. And it blows my mind. Because it's like blatantly false, hence the fake news of the week. But it's just such a weird thing to lie about because you don't need to bring it up at all.
You should stay away from it, actually, if you're
kidding. So Donald Trump, once again, in Hershey, and just searching this on Google, I was able to find multiple instances throughout the last few years of him going back and talking about how America now has the cleanest air and cleanest water, and he attributes it to, his administration. Wild, because all you have to do is look up any kind of data to find that there's been a huge increase in polluted air days over the last 2.5 years. Pretty much every single day, pollution has increased, which might be from, regulations that were stopped day one with him from the EPA. It's such a stupid lie to make, but people eat it up. It's easily proven false. We'll link to the most recent Associated Press article about this, but you can go back to when he last brought it up in June, brought up at another rally, and even The Hill, which is a right-leaning news organization, called him out on it. It's a weird hill to die on. I don't know why he keeps bringing this up. It's a thing he brings up time after time.
Yeah, and I mean, there's easy things to point to. I'm from Michigan. Just Google Flint, Michigan real quick and tell me that our water is the cleanest and we're in the best shape. There was just a toxic spill into the Flint River again.
Unbelievable.
And luckily right now, anybody that can afford to is not drinking that water, but it's not fixed. We're given billions of dollars in tax cuts and military aid, and we haven't fixed the pipes there. So, no, it's not better than it's ever been.
Very brief fake news of the week. We could go super in-depth with all of Donald Trump's claims after impeachment, but we don't have all day.
Any good news?
We do have good news because we like to close the episodes out now with good news because I don't like to go home and cry myself to sleep. Yeah.
Sorry, guys. This has been a tough one.
Yeah. But 2 pieces of good news. One is that the University of Phoenix has canceled out $140 million in student loan debt, which is great. There's a little asterisk to this, though. They were forced to pay that, to cancel out that debt by the federal government because essentially they've been operating as kind of a scam university diploma mill. That's some bad news. I'm choosing to look at this in a uplifting, positive light because this is an instance where federal oversight is working as it should. And actually forcing a body like the University of Phoenix to take these measures. That is good news. Government working as it should. We spent an entire episode here talking about the processes of government breaking down. Here's one where it did work, so I'm choosing to include that in good news. So screw you, University of Phoenix. Cancel that debt. Refund everyone.
Yeah. They've done some good. Yeah. I've got some friends that got some master's degrees from there.
Yeah.
By doing online courses and some bullshit. So, salute.
And our last uplifting story, this is one that's actually uplifting and everyone can get behind. The TRACED Act passed through the House of Representatives. The TRACED Act stands for the Telephone Robocall Abuse Criminal Enforcement and Deterrence Act.
Thank God, those calls are so annoying.
Another mouthful there. But it's going to force carriers like Verizon, AT&T to implement a call authentication system. And they will be in charge of blocking robocalls for free before they get to your phone.
I'm already getting spam now on my phone as the name.
I get like five of these a day.
Does it say spam now on your phone?
It does not yet.
Well, I have the caller ID. Now it says spam in the caller ID.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm so sick of seeing like local numbers that pop up because people are spoofing.
And it's
area
like
codes.
Your number almost,
yeah.
But missing
some,
a digit.
That happens. Some. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So that's good news all around.
I actually had one that was my exact number that said call from home, all my digits, and said my AT&T account was suspended. And
that's a clever trick.
Went into my account and everything. No, obviously everything was paid and good. So they're getting good. So I like to see they're cracking down a little bit on this.
Let's take this time to remind our listeners that if any company calls you asking for personal information, it's a scam. Do not do it.
And
none of your major companies are going to call you and ask for your social security number over the phone.
More importantly, your social security number is never suspended.
Yes.
It's not even a real
thing.
I get
those calls once a day.
Yeah. Guys, that's not a real thing. Don't call
it.
You can't suspend your social security number. But people get that. I mean, this goes back. Why they're so emboldened by this is Facebook. It's the news that our grandparents get that they believe immediately. You know, you call us, we're like, you're suspending my social security number, right? You call my 75-year-old grandma and say your social security number is suspended. She may call that number back and try to figure out why.
Yeah.
And that's the scary thing
it's
about
predatory.
It. Because it's not targeting us.
Right.
Right? Right. We're in our 30s. Not targeting us. It's targeting 60-year-olds and 70-year-olds and 80-year-olds that might call back and give their number right there on the phone.
Yeah.
So.
And don't realize they have not won a free vacation.
Shame on you. Well, so. Those are fine.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
All right. So on that note, we're going to close out the episode. If you want to follow us on social media, you can do so on Twitter and Instagram at @drinking_libpod. Check out our website at www.drinkingliberallypod.com. Fill out our contact us form out there. It's anonymous. You got comments, questions that you don't want to put your name to, too afraid to bring it up in other social media venues. Reach out to us there. We'd be happy to engage in you in discussions on anything you might disagree with.
Yeah, and if you ever want to come on, let us know.
Absolutely.
We'd love to talk about some dissenting opinions.
Yeah. That's all we've got for you this week. We'll talk to you next. Cheers.